Hi everyone, my name is Project Gill and welcome to the Aware Panel. As you don't know, the Aware Panel is going to talk about loads of issues that we face in today's society and things that our guest wants to bring up. And now, we turn into a podcast. If you didn't know before, we were running off Instagram Lives every Thursday at 3 p.m. But now, we turned into a podcast, so you can hear this every Thursday, and episodes will come out every Thursday at 3 p.m. So stay tuned.
Today, we have Victor, who is a freelance writer, researcher and musician. He firstly had two websites in his portfolio, the first one being a personal blog, while the second one being an entertainment website, which focused on one of his greatest passions, rock music. He previously volunteered for bigger courses than a fixed monthly salary before he even commenced higher education. He talked about how rock music could influence people like him and how to get into rock music. So let's just get on with the episode, guys. Hi everyone and welcome to another episode of the Aware Panel. Today we have Victor, who is going to speak about British rock music in the 1960s and bands that influences that, and it's going to be such an amazing talk. So Victor, do you want to introduce yourself in a bit more detail?
Thank you first of all for having me on your panel. My name is Victor and I'm a freelance Romanian writer and apprentice musician, so to put it, and currently still a bachelor student. For today's topic, I decided to start talking a bit about the history of the British rock scene in the 1960s and beyond, and how they actually influenced me into picking up a guitar and start playing on a six string. So given that it's a open discussion, I would just start up by mentioning that I've been a longtime fan of Jimmy Page since about the age of 13. He was my all-time greatest influence as a guitarist and also as a songwriter. I've always admired his genius on the sixth string, and basically the whole thing about the British rock scene from the 1960s fascinated me when I was a teenager. So it wasn't only limited to Zeppelin, but also to Pink Floyd and Beatles and the Stones, and prior to them. I was really, subsequently after getting to listen to them better and getting to know the frontmen of these bands and the individual members, and having listened to various interviews by them, such as those featuring Waters and Mason from Floyd, and also some of the band members from The Who, Daltrey and Townshend, I got to know the fact that they were also influenced by The Shadows and Hank Marvin. And in particular by the hit single Apache, which was released in 1960, if I recall correctly. So they were really, very much influenced by the sound of that red-colored, red-shaded Fender that Hank Marvin played on. And Syd Barrett, the first frontman of Pink Floyd, was in particular influenced by Hank Marvin. And, as I progressed through my own stages of musical development on real-life musical instruments, I started to listen more to The Shadows myself, and I couldn't help but appreciate the fact that Syd and the other guys from Floyd and from Zeppelin and so on and so forth had this tremendous interest and gratitude for Hank Marvin and The Shadows in the first place. But it's very interesting that the British rock scene of the 1960s influenced what would later be known as the British invasion. So basically, when we're talking about the Beatles and the Stones and the Who, we're talking about the time frame in British rock music that started along with, basically the Quarrymen, we can say, because that's basically proto-Beatles and was the way that they actually called themselves prior to becoming the Beatles during the late 1950s. But that's a little bit way too early to start talking about. Not that I wouldn't master the subject, but I would just like to stay in my lane and talk about the 1960s in British rock music with the knowledge that I have on the matter. So it's undoubtedly known that the Beatles were the most influential band of that decade in British rock music, and that the Lennon-McCartney duo managed to basically do amazing stuff for a lot of teenagers of that time in terms of the counterculture of the 1960s as well. And they also influenced the US also, you know, in physically by being there and being on tour from state to state whenever they had the opportunity to play live there, but also from back in the UK when they released studio albums, from where they released studio albums, and they had a tremendous impact worldwide, basically. But also, you know, the Beatles were, even if the Beatles were the most popular and the most well-known band of that time, my personal favorite band from that era, it's very hard actually to call it as such, but I think it's the band that influenced my way of thinking about many things throughout life were The Who. And I've always liked The Who perhaps more than other British bands of that era, because they were very original and rebellious. Not that the Beatles weren't rebellious, but they had a very nice degree of originality attached to them that other bands of their time didn't have or lacked. So I would just limit myself by saying that there would be no drummer like Keith Moon, basically, and he had a tremendous impact on many, many generations of drummers. And he was also in very good relation with Ringo Starr. And Ringo was from the Beatles, obviously. So they, you know, all these musicians from all these bands knew each other. And this just goes to remind me about how Led Zeppelin got to be named in that manner. It was, if I recall correctly, it was an interesting chat that Moon had with Plant and Page back in the late 60s, just after they ended the Yardbirds project, because Page was involved with Jeff Beck in the Yardbirds, and I think he knew Bonham separately, and then he went on in the Midlands to recruit Plant as a singer, and John Paul Jones as a bassist, and they knew each other, Page and Moon, if I'm not mistaken. That's what I read according to the legend. And They didn't put that much trust in themselves to begin with, even though they had big ambitions. They wanted to form a supergroup, and so they did eventually. But the thing is, the band would, you know, at that time it was thought and it was believed that the band would end up as a Led Zeppelin, so they wouldn't last too long in the business industry. But, you know, history sort of trumped that idea of Moon. It was also a joke, but yeah, it was very interesting to be alive back then and observe and see the great success that Zeppelin achieved along with other British rock bands. They were basically the greatest band out there in the 1970s, but the 1960s were definitely ruled by the Beatles.
Yeah, I love how your passion for, like, obviously the British rock music, like the history of it. It sounds really interesting as he's speaking about, like, the different people and what their lives were before, because, like, some artists may have a backstory behind each of the music. And looking into depth in that is really interesting to hear.
Yeah, definitely. Well, they are very interesting human beings as well. For example, Plant is very well educated in medieval history, and he's a longtime fan of J.R.R. Tolkien. And it is well known that Zeppelin, among longtime fans, that they were influenced by the writings of Tolkien, by Tolkien's Legendarium. And this can be clearly heard in the lyrics from No Quarter and Ramble On and other songs. Some of them just slipped my mind right now. I don't have a list of their most well-sung on me, so I'll just have to make a memory appeal, basically. But yeah, Plant, for example, yeah, very interesting, charismatic figure, very talented lead singer. And Page he was basically like a one-man orchestra on those guitars. And I think one of his signature guitars, apart from the Ovation Adamas, on which he played with Harper back in the 1970s, was the Hummingbird. So, and he also has a song Hummingbird, and on one of his solo albums that was released back in the late 1980s. Very fascinating figure, Page. I've always been fascinated by Page as a guitarist, but also in terms of his interests in the occult as well, because maybe it's not that well known, but he previously had a library, an occult library in London back in the 1960s, but eventually he basically forfeited still being in charge of the library as Led Zeppelin slowly but steadily propelled themselves to global stardom. So a very fascinating figure, Page, as well, and also one of my main heroes back in my teenage years. So yeah,
I love that. Like, I love how, like, even one artist can inspire you to become a better person, maybe, like, through their music. And I love how, like, music can create such a, like, inspiration amongst people. Like, it's the same with me. I'm into pop music, but it's not relatable here. But I look up to some people, and because of the way they handle things today. But like, it's not related to pop and rock music, obviously, because I'm not into that kind of genre. But for you, that could be this case where you may look up to some people and what they've gone through in their lives or put into their music, for example. So I think it's really interesting to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, with each and every one of us, we hold both light and dark. We basically are a very eclectic mixture of good and bad, and maybe with their personal lives, if you're that interested in Plant and Page in particular, they are very controversial as well. So I'm not going to delve that much into their personal lives, because it was basically their business, whatever they did with their lives, as they, you know, on a personal level. But there were very controversial matters to be discussed throughout the headlines of many rock magazines, many celebrity magazines back then, with respect to their relationships with various women. And I will just say the fact that, you know, they, just like with basically each and every rock star, they might have the impulse of seeking extra relationships. So that's basically the end of it. From my part, at least. Yeah. But other than that, my advice for young people who might discover Zeppelin, for example, accidentally, or not necessarily accidentally, but if their family members or if their friends were into Zeppelin before them, what I would just limit myself by saying is the fact that they should definitely stick to the musicianship and gossip, you know, less, because I think that on a musical level, they were greatly talented, even though here we can also talk a little bit about several controversies, because they were accused of plagiarism, and they had many trials regarding some allegedly stolen riffs from Stairway to Heaven, for example, which was allegedly inspired by a song by the band Spirit. Or, you know, it was also Page's early interest in Bert Jansch, who is also a great hero of mine, great acoustic guitarist, Scottish acoustic guitarist. I listened to Jack Orion. That was the studio album which definitely inspired Page on both Led Zeppelin 1 and on Led Zeppelin 3. And he sort of pinched stuff from Jansch and did not properly credit that on the back sleeve of their studio albums. And I, you know, Jansch was in a band called The Pentangle before actually making it as a solo artist. And Pentangle were a great folk rock band. They were tremendously inspired by medieval themes, and they covered medieval songs as well. Hunting Song is an example of the stuff they covered live. And they basically were a great influence for Page. And I started listening to Zeppelin initially, and then I discovered Jansch through Page, basically, but through the controversy that actually sort of made Zeppelin, you know, not that well liked by very classic fans of the rock genre. And by that I mean fans of Jansch and the Pentangle. So, and whenever you can actually go on YouTube and listen to stuff from Zeppelin 1, such as Black Mountain Side, you can clearly see that, you know, in the comment section there are people who either praise Page or basically just don't have a very good opinion of what he did. So, you know, a very controversial band, Zeppelin, but still very talented guys. And in particular, I think, the figure who's quite little known, but he's very, very smart and very, very talented, even more so than Page, I would say, is John Paul Jones. Now, John Paul Jones is a multi-instrumentalist, and he is a bass player as well as a keyboardist. But he plays all sorts of triple neck instruments, and he also had a very successful solo career, I would say, and he collaborated with other bands after Zeppelin ceased to exist as a band in 1980, just after Bonham deceased, unfortunately. So he collaborated with Them Crooked Vultures, if I'm not mistaken. And he is, if you watch a couple of interviews with John Paul Jones, you will clearly see that he is, you know, he was nicknamed the Quiet One by a lot of Zeppelin fans and critics and journalists back in the day when Zeppelin had their heyday, basically, when they were at the peak of their career in terms of notoriety and so on and so forth. And that was because of the fact that he did not commit to that many interviews. And he, even though he was in the limelight, he wasn't that vocal as planned and Page. But he sure had a lot of fun with the band on tour. So, yeah, but I would say that he should be definitely be far more well-researched by a lot of rock music fans, especially his solo career. His studio albums are really worth listening to, and that's my personal advice to a lot of people who are into rock music but haven't had time, or basically did not know that John Paul Jones is a very accomplished musical figure on his own.
Yeah, like, I completely understand, like this kind of genre do need some recognition. So that actually leads up to my next question. Do you think the rock music industry needs to have more recognition in like the same way probably like R&B or even like pop music should be?
Well, I personally think that rock music has had and still has a great degree of notoriety and recognition, both in terms of many critics from many specialized magazines and TV shows and music channels and so on and so forth, as well as by the great cohorts of fans out there. So, and I don't, well, there has always been sort of bitter rivalry with maybe pop and rap, you know, in terms of like the genre itself. So these genres themselves have often been quite at odds one with the other in that they, you know, or maybe the fans were, you know, sort of bitter at each other, if that's logical. But for me, I mean, I for one would say that you shouldn't just keep on listening to one genre of music all throughout your lifetime, because you're missing out on life very much, and you should always be very open-minded and definitely listen to a lot of other genres such as jazz rock fusion. Of course, jazz rock fusion is sort of like a spin-off from, like an offshoot from the main rock genre. But still, you know, jazz and classical and pop is also, the two can coexist with little to no problems at all. The same goes for rap, I suppose. And so on and so forth. But I, you know, to just conclude on your question, I think rock music definitely has just about enough acknowledgement, like professional acknowledgement and recognition on many levels from critics and fans alike.
Yeah, that's literally so interesting to see, because I think rock music does have that kind of way that it's just like, it's just really interesting to see as well. And yeah, so it does need the recognition that it needs, to be for sure. And yeah, for sure. And yeah, so what do you think about the whole thing with people wanting to go into like rock music and learning about the history of rock music?
Yeah, well, my take on it is the following one. If I can give any sort of advice on the matter, is, you know, to young people in general, teenagers, go for it. Do it, because it's good for the soul. It's good for the soul. It's good for the mind. It's good for your personal development. Rock and roll is, and has not always been about reckless rebellion. It was also basically based on very deep human emotions and feelings and thinking. It's a lot about thinking, because, you know, when we were talking about Page, you cannot have such a great genius on the sixth string without, you know, thinking. It would be very hard for a lot of apprentice musicians nowadays to even get to know what was in the mind of Page before he played those solos on stage. And he was just an accomplished, and he still is, an accomplished guitarist on both lead level as well as rhythm level. So he's a great figure with all the good and bad, both on musical level and on other levels. So yeah, just go for it. Discover as much as you think it's, you know, really worth for you as a potential listener, and, you know, enjoy the ride. Just try to jump from one genre one subgenre to another subgenre, because there are so many subgenres of rock music. You know, you can easily lose count of them. There are literally hundreds of them out there. So what I would advise beginners to start up with would be classic rock, progressive rock. That's very, very important. I cannot stress this enough. Just go for progressive rock. Go and listen to the likes of Supertramp. Yes is another great English rock band fronted by John Anderson. Extremely good band. Supertramp as well. I have a personal regard in the matter while we are at it, because when I was a student in Denmark, I could have went a Supertramp concert back in 2018, but I was ill and I couldn't attend it. So we're heading back a bit. Yeah, Supertramp, yes. And if we are to go beyond the British Isles and the United Kingdom, I would definitely say that it would be nice to listen to Rush as well, great Canadian band. Kansas, great American progressive rock band. The Doors, definitely. They were my favorites. Probably maybe the all-time favorite rock group, even tops Beatles, you know, in my personal chart. And, of course, the Jimi Hendrix Experience. So it's very important to start up with the classics. But as you progress and you start on refining your preferences, I would definitely also recommend listening to other least well-known bands such as Mahavishnu Orchestra, and John McLaughlin is a brilliant guitarist, also a great influence on a personal level. Yeah, and a lot of other instrumental rock guitarists are there who are definitely worth listening to, Steve Vai and Joe Satriani. I've seen Steve Vai when I was 13, and he was amazing. He's a genius, and it's clear that he was greatly influenced by Frank Zappa, and also Frank Zappa. Yeah, just listen to the genius of Frank Zappa as much as you can. It will consume you, but still, you know, give it a try.
I love that. Like, guys, just go and check out Frank Zappa, I guess, because he sounds amazing for sure. He sounds like an amazing artist, and yeah, so. So my next question is, do you think young people today know much about rock music? Because obviously with me, I'm a young person, but I don't know much about rock music. So do you think that young people should know more about?
Well, that depends if they're really interested into knowing more about a specific group. You know, we all have free will, and definitely if something, like if a topic of interest doesn't basically fascinate you that much, so to put it. There's basically no need to further examine it. But if there are real committed fans of the genre, they should definitely do their homework and research more about their heroes, just about the way I did, basically. So I did not just limit myself by listening to each and every studio album from the discography of Pink Floyd, and also listening to the live albums and various compilations and so on and so forth. But I also got to actually inform myself and document myself about their careers and about also their personal lives, because I was always fascinated by the lives of musicians. They were the, one of the, in my cultural, in my many cultural quests, I've always been very interested into finding more about, what was in the personal lives of these musicians that made them, that influenced them to produce such great works of art, basically. And I would say that young people should maybe realize the fact that, of course, they're not alone. We've always, as a species, we've always had the need to bond together and so on and so forth, and to share our experiences. And so in these regards, actually, I think that they will find a lot of commonalities in their upbringing with the lives of, these musicians, because there are so many common problems that we all face, and rock music basically connects us in a very deep and interesting manner. And so young people nowadays can clearly empathize a lot with rock musicians of bygone days, so to put it. So yeah, they should do that if they're really interested in finding more about their idols and their heroes, their musical heroes.
I love that. And so we actually are coming to an end of the show. So my last question for you is, would you recommend rock music to anyone? And reasons being and reasons not to.
First of all, I don't think I'm in such a position that I would just thrust rock music in everyone's life. I wouldn't be, doing the right thing. I would recommend rock music to people who've undergone major traumas and major issues in their personal lives, because the rock music also has a cathartic and therapeutic quality to it, and a lot of people would be very much aided by the sounds of rock music. Now, it depends here which band you would be more prone to listening, or which subgenre would you rather listen in order to start healing yourself, or in order to start realizing the fact that you're not alone, and that a lot of people went through similar problems and had similar life experiences and so on and so forth. So I would definitely recommend some bands, but not all bands. And I think that if I am in any position to give advice to young people nowadays, especially adolescents, it would probably be listening to Supertramp and listening to Yes, and also part of Pink Floyd, not all of Pink Floyd, because I think that part of their catalogue really is meant for teenagers, and another part is meant for people who are already young adults and adults, like very, very mature adults. So, but if that is a feat that you would like to do as a teenager, listening to the more mature content of Pink Floyd's discography, such as The Final Cut, then go for it. But The Final Cut is a very, very complex album, and also rather, rather well known, not a very popular. It has a lot of political connotations and so on and so forth, allegations towards the Falklands War. So yeah, I would just limit myself by saying that the pros and the cons are the following ones. Let's start with the pros. The pros are that, once again, rock has a very empathetic nature to the lyrics and to the message that's being transmitted through the lyrics to the audience. It's also the fact that, in terms of instrumentation, it's amazing. Some of the songs are so amazing that you can easily get addicted to them over the years, such as I got addicted to pretty much every song on Led Zeppelin 3, Led Zeppelin 3 being my all-time, most favorite Zeppelin record. And that's probably because of the fact that I've always enjoyed folk rock music over many other subgenres of folk rock. So it's very get together, you know, very sort of cottage-like atmosphere. In point of fact, the whole album was recorded in Wales at Bronirore Cottage near McKinliff. So, you know, it just goes without saying that's a very get-together feeling that you have when you're listening to the record, because, you know, in many listeners' lives, they just keep on remembering what was nice in you know, in their interactions with like-minded people when listening to the records, such as Led Zeppelin III, and in particular to any other folk-tinted records. So yeah, the feeling of it is a pro, being empathetic as well with the problems and the nature of the subjects exposed in the lyrics. The thing that rock music is also meant for people with above average intelligence, that's a well-known fact. So if you're above average intelligent, then you should also give a try listening to a lot of rock bands, because otherwise I personally think that you're missing out on life enormously. So those would be some pros and some cons now, if I can identify any at all. Yeah, if it, just consume it in limiting amounts, because it can get very addictive. So enjoy it, but enjoy it with measure. I, for one, haven't made that many excesses when it comes to listening to rock music, even though I've participated in many festivals and rock concerts when I was a teenager. But I know for sure that too much music can really impact your life in maybe a negative manner. So, for example, I can give you a personal experience while we are at it. When I was a bachelor student in Denmark, I used to play a lot on the sixth string, a lot meaning above 5 to 6 hours a day, and I completely forgot about myself. I completely forgot that I'm, you know, just another human being who needs to eat, who needs to drink water, who needs to basically take care of himself. And so I was, and it was so excruciatingly hard for me to give up playing so much once I got really, really started on it, that because I liked it very much, and it sort of, I sort of became addicted to playing a lot of the tunes that I grew up with, you know, in particular Zeppelin songs and Hendrix riffs and so on and so forth. But I completely forgot about myself. So, and also I was listening all day and maybe all night, and you know, during some days I disturbed some of my flatmates, you know, who were having exams and stuff like that, but not to a very considerable way that it would impact the exam outcome in a negative manner. Still, it's, you know, it's very annoying, you know, but that is if you're not the player on guitar, but actually the listener. And a lot of people have various tastes in matter of music, but you should consume it, and you should definitely present it in limiting amounts, in limited amounts. So, yeah, especially with people who are not that keen on listening to rock on a daily basis. I've had my, you know, I've had long periods of time during which I was solely listening to Led Zeppelin III and Houses of the Holy and Led Zeppelin I and Led Zeppelin II and basically everything that had a guitar on, which was composed and performed by Page. And that did not come that much lightly with a lot of the people that I surrounded myself with. So be very well informed and aware of the fact that you shouldn't disturb a lot of people with your music, whatever genre of music you're listening to, even if you like it so much. So, you know, try as much as possible to be very conscious about it.
I love that. I love that advice. And for all of you out there who want to go into rock music, definitely go for it, because there are definitely more pros than cons to it, as you said before. And yeah, so thank you, Victor, for coming on to this show. I really enjoyed listening and talking about like this topic, which is so underrated. And thank you for sharing your experiences.
Yeah, well, underrated by a lot of people, but highly appreciated by, you know, surprisingly even more people. You wouldn't know.
I love that. So thank you so much. And for anyone out there, just check out some artists. So do you want to say any artists that you really like so that people can have a listen?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend Bert Jansch. Bert Jansch is a tremendously underrated and rather not well-known guitarist, but he influenced so many other well-known guitarists like Neil Young, who is also one of my favorites, and definitely Page was my basically all-time hero. Even after I got to know the fact that they were involved in those plagiarism-based accusations. So Bert Jansch would be one of the many artists that I would recommend. And I also would recommend, I have a list. I really have a list somewhere. If you could just wait 1 minute. I'm going to look it up. And I'm going to just name a few of them because I think that your audience would be very much interested in getting to know many other rock musicians, be them solo artists or full-fledged groups. I would definitely recommend Men at Work as well, even though they are sort of not entirely rock. It's more like, well, a mixture of, well, what can I say? Soft rock with new wave and reggae rock. Midnight Oil, so basically a lot of Australian artists are there. The Church, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, John Farnham, Crowded House, one of my recent favorites. And also, I would recommend Black Sabbath, Queen, The Zombies, Donovan, Herman's Hermits, Roy Harper, Fairport Convention, The Kings, The Animals, Bad Company, Free, Gentle Giant, The Soft Machine, Asia, Genesis, Kate Bush, Paul Stewart, Snowy White, Jeff Rotol, definitely, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Electric Light Orchestra, Porcupine Tree, Tears for Fears, they're extremely good, both Kurt Smith and Roland Orzabal, Big Country, New Order, Depeche Mode, so basically everything that that is entailed within the new wave subgenre, and many, many others, so I would just limit myself by saying these names.
I'm glad. I love that. So thank you everyone for listening today, and make sure to check out those artists as Victor just said. And yeah, so if you want to listen to more episodes like this, just go on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, search The Aware Panel and listen to all our episodes so far. It's so amazing. And yeah, so thank you once again for listening and take care. Bye guys. Bye everyone. Thank you everyone for watching today's episode. If you liked it, put a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and make sure you subscribe and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We would love to hear feedback from you, so make sure you do that. Also, spread the word about the Aware Panel, because this is such a platform where people could just talk about anything, and we would encourage everyone who listens to this podcast to be listening to us. See you guys later. Bye.